Chapter 5. And it's nice to see Bon this morning. Thank you for coming.
Hallelujah. Are you all there on Galatians chapter 9, chapter 5? And we're finishing up. It's pretty soon. And chapter 5 of Galatians. And we start reading from 1 to 15 this morning. Are you all there? Amen. Verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law had been alienated from Christ. You had been fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion," if you have your pen with you, I want you to write, underline that word confusion. "The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be." Verse 11, "Brother, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish would go to the whole way of emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in love. The entire law is summed up in single command. Love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other." That's the NIV version. But I want you to read to you the New Living Translation of that verse 1 to 15. The NIV, the New Living Translation, it says there, it says here, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again as slavery of the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you had been cut off from Christ. You had fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place ourselves in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who had helped you back from following the truth? It certainly is not God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. and trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teaching. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Again, that word confusing. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you had been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use that freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of one another. Wow. Amen. You know, the title of my message this morning is about the signal lights that signs. Do you think it's confusing? Which one is red and blue and green? It's confusing because the title of my message is Cutting Through the Confusion. And we went to Halifax. We left Monday, and then when we arrived in, we have a layover in in Montreal. And in Montreal, there's a sign, it says connecting flights. So we hurry, and then they say that your gate number is so-and-so. So we hurry, get a connecting flight, and then we have to go through those line. You have to line up and to go. Man, I said, we only have 1 hour and 30 minutes to catch up with our connecting flight. And here we're lining up, and then the Canadian custom says, you know what? You're on the wrong line. Oh my gosh, you go to that line. And it's really confusing. And after that, we went to that line, and then the guy said, you know what? Where is your check-in luggage? I said, we have a check-in luggage there. But you need to check it out and to check it in. Oh my gosh. I mean, check it out. We only have, 30 minutes left. So we asked six different people that works with the airline company, and they have six different answer. Oh my God. But then the other guy, the last guy said, you know what? If I were you, just check in yourself. Tell them that your luggage is, you didn't check out your luggage. File a report, but as long as you reach to your destination. And so we did. We arrived there. We got we look up for our luggage, and sure, it's not there. So Rose filed a loss of luggage. And the following day, they are able to send it to Halifax, from Montreal to Halifax, and we're able to get our luggage. But it's confusing. Amen. And it's confusing. And our life is just like, you know, we have a boarding pass. They tell us to go to that gate. But then from the place where you are and going to that gate, there's so many obstructions. And sometimes it's confusing. There are some, you know, they say that speaking in tongues doesn't exist anymore in these days. And somebody says, yeah, you need to speak in tongues and you have to do this and to do that. And the ladies, somebody says that you don't worry about anything. All you have to do is, as long as you love one another. So if you are not grounded in the Word of God, you're going to be confused. Amen? So that's what we're going to learn this morning, because Paul is winding up towards the end of his letter to Galatians, his epistle to Galatians. And he knows that the Galatians are confused. Some of them believe the ritual of the Jewish culture. Some of them, they don't believe. So these are the Christians that Paul started the church, their churches. And these are the people that's been believing. And suddenly, there's some new teaching that they say that you, in order to go to heaven, you have to receive Jesus Christ by faith. But then you have to do the rituals. You still have to go to church on Saturday. So there's a lot of confusion. So Paul is trying to clean it up, and he said, "You know what? There are three things that you need to do in this confusing world." And this is what he lined up for our study this morning. Amen. So, the first thing this morning that we're going to look up here are the three things that he wants us to learn and make sure that this is our foundation in whatever it is that we believe for. There's three things that he wants us to follow through. And the first thing that we need to be clear about is that what counts in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is what? Is faith expressing itself through love." See? The couple that we seated together, they are right. As long as you love one another. Right? As long as you love one another, you can do whatever you want to do. So are they right? Are they right? See, their love is not expressing through faith in Jesus Christ. See, the first thing that the false teachers were teaching, that a lot of things counted, specifically the requirement of the Old Testament law. Especially those outward things that helped to establish the Jewish identity. See, the Jewish identity, they have so many laws that they have to follow through, because they are the only chosen people of God. So they have that identity, that's the identity status in their life. Amen? So Paul cut through that confusion and said, the only thing that counts is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith, if it is not genuine, will express itself outwardly. Not merely symbolic ways, but in a practical ways, in loving ways. So there is a surgical procedure that doesn't matter. A dress code doesn't matter. A special diet doesn't matter. A going to church on Sunday or Saturday, it doesn't matter. The only that matters is faith on Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen? Yes, when that faith expresses itself through love, some of those external may need to change. And we will look at in a few minutes, but those external are not the main thing. The only thing that matters is a life-changing faith in Christ. Amen? And specifically, it is trusting that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross is sufficient to pay for all of our sins. Right? It is understanding that there is nothing you can do to add or to what Christ has done, than that your behavior can never merit God's favor. Amen? It's because you love one another. It doesn't matter. But it matters is your faith on Jesus Christ. Amen? Faith is the understanding that, and then humbly accepting the offer of salvation of Jesus Christ? Does a change take place in your life and behavior when you reach out in faith? Amen. Is there a change in your life when you reach out in faith in Jesus Christ? Does that change earn salvation? It doesn't. The only thing that changed is your faith on Jesus Christ. The changing of your attitude, it doesn't take you to salvation. It just changed you. But faith on Jesus Christ alone, that will change you. That will accept you in your salvation. Why? Because faith is what counts. Faith is the only thing that counts. Secondly, if we are cut through the confusion, we must clear about who is calling. Who is calling you? Galatians chapter 5 verse 8 says, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So there's a calling in each one of our lives. Right? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. See, make sure that we are following the right shepherd. Right? The important way is to avoid confusion, is to make sure you know the voice of Jesus Christ so you can discern who is calling. Amen? See, the false teachers will come and they will be convincing. They will come yielding scripture. They will come with followers. They will come, and Jesus said, "We've been working miracles," and they will come with palatable words. Palatable words. It's tasty words, convincing words. It would be difficult to recognize a counterfeit bills if you didn't know what the real thing looks like. Right? You must know the real thing. In the same way, to recognize a counterfeit gospel, you've got to understand the true gospel. Amen? This can be confusing, especially when you're confronted by people who had been trained to take the scripture out of context. And there's a lot of that going on in our culture today. There's people knocking in your door. And they will take that word, just one scripture, and they will twist it. And then if you are not sure of what you believe for, you're going to be convinced. So we must know not only what counts most of all, but also we must learn who is calling. We might know the voice of who is calling. Amen? So you need to be able to recognize who is calling. And finally, to cut through the confusion, we need to know which command. So, first of all, is what? Anybody taking a note? We need to know what counts. Is that by faith alone, expressing ourselves through the love of God, through the love of Jesus Christ. And number two, and we need to know who is calling. Is it God calling us or the enemy is calling us? Right? And then lastly, we need to know which command that we need to follow. And verse 14, it says, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to know which command is important for us, a believer. It is not the command to be circumcised. It's not the dietary law, not even the Ten Commandments. But this one, the one that sums up what's important about the law. This command also sums up the essence of the freedom that we have in Christ. We are set free to love. But the interesting thing here is that having been set free, the desire of our heart is to serve one another. The bottom line is to love, but that bottom line is to serve one another. Amen? Because Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Amen? Of course, the ultimate example of this is Christ himself. No one could dispute that Christ was the epitome of freedom. He was only chained to a human body because he chose to lay aside his right as God. He gave up his right. Amen? Yet, as the ultimate expression of his freedom, he chose the cross, the ultimate expression of love, which looked very much like bondage. But he made it clear before he went to the cross that it was his choice. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You can find that in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. So as we follow the example of Christ, we will find also that our freedom is expressed in serving one another. And that is what we had been set free to do. Amen? Like Elijah? He's talking too. He's preaching. He's preaching to his grandma. See, in verse 13 of our text says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. See, a good example is found in Paul's letter to the believers at Corinth when he tells them that for the sake of brotherly love, they should give up eating and food sacrificed to idol. Not that it was sinful, but because it was a problem for their brothers. See, it's the bottom line. The bottom line is to serve one another. If I am not serving, if I let you stumble of what I eat, I better not eat that. Right? Amen? And this applies to us too. Though we have freedom in Christ for the sake of love, sometimes we need to choose not to exercise that freedom. If you are behaving in ways that you know causes a destruction or a problem for your brother and sisters, by your dress or grooming, or language, or choice of entertainment, then you are breaking the law of love. See, we may find that our freedom to love causes us to do things we'd rather not to do our own. It may cost time out of your busy schedule. It may cost money we've been saving for a special threat of ourselves. But ultimately, we will find that the appropriate use of our freedom is to serve one another, and that will reap great blessings and joy in our life. Amen? It's what it means to be in the grip of God's grace. It's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's what it means to have Christ formed in us. Amen? That's the bottom line. So that's why Paul, it's winding up in his message to the Galatians, so that there will be three lessons. There's three mark or three ingredients that we can take hold. And if we understand that threshold that he gave to Galatians, we may be able to eliminate or cut off this confusion in our life. Because the first thing that the enemy will do in our life, and especially when you're following God, is to create a confusion in each one of us. And there's a lot of people, especially in this church, because confusing. Some other brothers and sisters that we have here is that, hey, you don't need to put that wreath during Christmas, because it's a worldly. Some others says you don't eat that dinuguan because it's offered to the idols. Some says that you don't do this. Some says that how many times We come in here, somebody from another religious group is here. Why are you worshiping on Sunday? You should worship on Saturday. See? So that's why Paul is trying to clean up the confusion of the Galatians, because we want to serve God. Amen. We want to respond to the call of God in each one of our life. So that when somebody comes to you and say, you know what? Why are you guys worshiping on Sunday, not on Saturday? So what do you do? Oh, Pastor Ed gave us three. There are three things that's important on Apostle Paul, and I believe that's important too also in our life. And they say, what is that three? The first thing is that I need to know what counts. My life here, our journey, what counts? Because there's a lot of people that will come and give you some words that are the words that I learned is palatable. Words that are enticing. And then number two, we need to know who is calling us. Is it Ellen White or Jesus Christ? And then number two is which command are we to follow? Because we have this 500 promises of God, and then there's a New Testament. There's some history of Israel, and then there's a letter of Paul to different churches. So we need to know. And in 2 weeks, we will explore this even further with the passage that begins, "Led by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." So if you're serious with your life, you want the Holy Spirit lead you, I want you to come early, because the lesson that we have here is so powerful. The lesson that Sister Myra is teaching us is so powerful. And we need to apply how can we lead by the Holy Spirit in our life. And we need to apply that. Come here early and listen to the lesson, because we need to apply how the Holy Spirit will lead our life. Amen? I welcome you. I compel you to come, because we need to apply. And to tell you the truth, it's been a while that I have not applied about worshiping in the Spirit. And if we worship in the Spirit, you know that we are Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ, are communicating, are talking. How would you like to have that, your Spirit? How would you like to have a Spirit? Your Spirit will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. I like to have that one. Amen? I like my Spirit to be led by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that if our spirit is led by the Holy Spirit, man, there's powerful that things that will happen in your life. Amen. So I compel you to come next Sunday early, and we will study the lead by the Spirit. And I'm pretty sure that's gonna change our whole life when the Holy Spirit lead our life. Amen? So, and living by the Spirit is exactly what will happen in our lives as we cut through the confusion by knowing what counts: only faith in Christ, not an external set of rules and regulation, not by recognizing who is calling us, as we learn to discern the voice of the shepherd from the voice of the thief. And finally, as we understand which command we should live by, the command of love, which is the ultimate expression of our freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen? Shall we pray? Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Shall we all stand? Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, we glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Jesus, we praise your name, Lord. We praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, Lord God, that there's the three things that we to consider, Lord, to make our foundation stronger, Lord, than ever before. And Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for these three things, Lord, that we need to do, Lord God. And Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit as you lead us, Lord, as you lead us into worshiping you and living with you, Lord, and walking by the Spirit, Lord God. Father, we pray that you will even start now, Lord, in each one of our lives this morning with my brothers and sisters, Lord. We pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they will desire the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives, Father God. And Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that give us life, that give us freedom, Lord, that give us the liberty, Lord Jesus, that we are not in bondage of sin anymore, but we have a freedom that the Lord Jesus has set us free, Lord God, that by faith we can worship, Lord Jesus, that our guilt has been taken away, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your love for us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for the tithes and offering you have given to us, Lord, this opportunity to bring our tithes and offering, Lord, our love, to show our love to you, Lord God. That as we respond to your calling to each one of our lives this morning, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We give you all the glory and honor, Lord. All belongs to you, Lord God. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.